Aye.
Item 269, initiate foreclosure action on three properties for the collection of delinquent city liens.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning, Sarah Landis, Chief Deputy City Auditor. And with me today are Marco Maciel, the Foreclosure Program Manager, and Dan Simon in the City Attorney's Office. I've got the City Chief Financial Officer slash Treasurer and with us as well, and the Code Enforcement Manager for BDS are also here to answer any questions you might have.
Yeah, we're going to pull it today.
Before I go into individual property detail, I'd like to take just a moment to review the city's efforts to address vacant and distressed properties through foreclosure. This is the fourth foreclosure list that we have brought to council since focused efforts began in 2016. As a reminder, properties end up on the foreclosure program when they have delinquent liens. For those properties determined to be vacant and distressed properties, these are code enforcement liens, which result in penalties, and nuisance abatement liens, where the city has incurred a cost to clean up the property. Taking someone's property is obviously a serious step. Per city code, foreclosure should only be used as a last resort when all other enforcement options have not improved the condition of the property. This effort is really the result of a partnership between the four agencies listed here, with input from others such as the Police Bureau, neighborhood involvement, and council offices, as well as community members. Very briefly, Development Services recommends candidate properties. The Auditor's Office reviews and selects properties to foreclose. The Treasurer conducts the sale, and the City Attorney advises along the way. Since we began bringing properties to council for foreclosure in 2016, the increased pressure being applied to the owners of these distressed properties has had positive results. We've brought BDS has proposed 65 properties for foreclosure, including this list. 13 will have been brought to council for a vote. Of the 65 initially brought by BDS, we've had half of them pay in full, over half of them have paid in full, 37, and we've collected $1.6 million. This list can...
Could you not forget the last bullet point on that slide, because I think it's the most important one.
Yeah, so as we move forward with foreclosure on properties and as owners and financial institutions receive notice that we're intending to move forward on foreclosure, there's a great deal of pressure applied, and that's where we see much of the resolution there in payment in full in turning those properties over back into productive use. Okay. So there are three properties on this list with a total of 15 liens and about $200,000 owed on those liens. Two of these are in the Extremely Distressed Properties Enforcement Program, and one is a distressed property with chronic maintenance violations. They're located in Northeast Portland and one in Southeast Portland. The first property is at 113th and Northeast Wygant. There are four liens on this property that were placed between 2015 and 2017. The total amount owed is just over $19,000. The property is in default and is slated for foreclosure by a financial institution later in the summer. It is currently vacant. It is an attractant for squatters and garbage accumulation and debris. Development Services has abated exterior yard nuisance issues twice. There have been 10 calls for police service since May of 2015, and it's currently boarded and secure by police and Development Services, but these board ups are frequently breached. The second property is at 4918 Southeast 128th Street. It has five liens, and it has a 10-year history of problems with the city. At this point, the total amount owed is $130,521. There have been multiple violations cited on the property, including fire life safety and health sanitation problems. There are reports of squatters using the property from time to time. There's currently an open trench and collapsed cellar on the property, which is creating hazards for the neighbors' property, particularly their driveway. Attempts to rehabilitate the property were made initially, but those have been abandoned, and it's been uninhabitable for over 5 years. It's currently vacant and boarded. And the last property is at 4406 Northeast 13th Avenue. This property has 6 liens that were assessed between November of 2013 and November 2017. There's a total amount owed of $42,857. This property is one of 6 that this owner has that have violations with the city, so we're anxious to get some progress on this particular property to hopefully spur some activity on the other properties as well. It has multiple fire life safety violations. It's been declared a derelict building with structural failure. It's an attractant for squatters, garbage, and dumping. It's been vacant for 18 years. And the city has performed 10 nuisance abatements on the property. The next step for these 3 properties is for council to vote today on whether to foreclose. The auditor's office then transfers responsibility to the treasurer, who will conduct the foreclosure sale. A property owner can pay the amount owed up to the sale date, and after the sale is conducted, the current owner has a 1-year redemption period in which they can reclaim the property by paying the full cost owed. And Okay. That's the end of my presentation. Happy to answer any questions you might have.
Commissioner Daly?
I just was trying to read that last slide.
Does the full cost owed include the costs that the city has incurred around remediation and other steps?
Yes, it does, and as well as the collection costs and the cost for the conduct of the foreclosure sale and other fees.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. So I'm just curious. So if we sell a property at auction, the previous owner still has a 1-year period in which they can...
Yes, that's by state law.
That's by state law?
Yeah.
Okay. That seems kind of unfair to the purchaser, anyway. And then I wanted to ask... So when a bank forecloses, does that take precedence over our foreclosure, and we just get paid by the bank what we're owed? Is that how it works in a bank foreclosure?
It depends on the position of the lien. So we have senior liens and junior liens. I would let Dan Simon from the city attorney's office answer any of those questions.
Yes, and the typical attorney answer is that it depends. It could be that we have senior liens on the property from nuisance abatement costs that have priority over any interest held by the bank or any other interested parties. It could be that the city has code enforcement liens, which are junior priority, first in time, first in right. And so when a property is sold by a bank at foreclosure, the surplus of those funds go to pay off all the interest that are seniors to ours before the city has a chance to recoup its fees.
Okay. And just one last question. We were just talking about the many of the owners do step up at the last minute. Is that last minute prior to going to auction, or is it at the end of that 1-year redemption period?
They can step up any time prior to the foreclosure sale and pay the amount owed. After the foreclosure sale, they'll have to pay the sale cost, so there could be a difference there between those two.
And there is a penalty attached to that, too.
Penalty? Okay, thank you.
Commissioner Udaly.
Well, I would just like to express my appreciation for your work on this issue. I mean, as you mentioned, we take foreclosure very seriously. I'm really one of the last people, I think, who would be enthusiastic about this option. But these houses are what are commonly referred to as zombie houses, and they're creating like extraordinary hardship in our neighborhoods. It's one of the most frustrating things I think we have to deal with at BDS. So I want to also just voice my opinion that we need to be more aggressive and move faster on these properties.
Very
and
good.
Also, my fantasy is that they would be turned into land trust opportunities for low-income home ownership. I don't know if that's an option, but I just want to put it out there in the ether.
Any public testimony on this item?
No one signed up.
Can we...
Good morning.
Good morning. My name is Lightning. I represent Lightning Super Justice Watchdog. Again, one of the points I didn't hear is what other options did you give these people that are about to lose their equity and their time that they put into these properties? And as private property owners, I feel a lot of their rights to own a property and have title in your name. Now, here's my position. If you've given them options as far as saying, we'll just do away with any of these liens to us if you just get in here and fix this house up and make it a little safer. Have you done that? No. Because when you go into these properties, as you can see on some of these homes, when you come in as the code enforcement, $10,000 there, you come in the code enforcement on this other house, $96,000 on a code enforcement coming in there one time. And then you came back again for the nuisance, cost recovery, you know, to pay you for going out there and writing on your clipboard, another $15,000. Then you came back again, another code enforcement of $16,000. Now they're in debt up to $130,000. Guess what? You just took their equity away from them, their rights as a private property owner. Now get this. I can go out and buy a home today, and I can have it sit there empty. You know why? Because it's my right as a property owner. And my title, my name is on the title. Now guess what happens? If someone comes in off the sidewalk and kicks my door in, breaks my windows out, paints all over the front of my house, you look at that owner as they're the problem. No. Let's talk law enforcement. You haven't done your job here, law enforcement. That's a very unsafe neighborhood. Now, let's go back. You have police reports on this. We should be able to take those police reports, go to our insurance company, and say, look at the damage that has been done to my property. I'm allowed to have it sit empty. Why aren't the insurance companies paying for the damages? Why aren't they paying it? Why do the owners not appear here? Because they're so afraid of law enforcement. Why don't they show up? Every report you have in here has directed that they have a concern with the way they're being treated. I would like everybody on this list to have somebody look over this list, talk to the owners, and ask them one question. Do you feel you have been treated fair on this whole situation? One question. I'm glad they got another 12 months at the end of this auction to get their home back, but guess what? You put an anchor on them. You're sinking them. They're vulnerable, and are you helping them as a city? You're nothing but a bunch of bankers up here. You're nothing but a bunch of foreclosure vultures, smug little attitudes. And aren't you the one that voted against all that housing now? Pathetic. Pathetic. You know what?
Time. Thank you.
Thank you.
Call the roll.
Vultures.
Pritz.
Well, thank you, Sarah Lundis, for working now with three mayors to get this program going. And thanks to Mayor Sam Adams and Charlie Hales for really digging deep into the questions such as those we just heard. I know all of us on the council are very reluctant to take people's properties. With private property rights come responsibilities. And it's very clear from the photographs that you showed that the owners are simply not looking after these properties. So thank you, and I vote aye.
Fish.
Aye.
Sossaman.
Thank you, Auditor's Office and City Attorney and BDS and our Treasurer, too. Thank you for your work. Aye.
Udaly.
Well, I want to thank Mike Liefeld, who's in the audience today, and the whole enforcement team at BDS. We are, in fact, helping homeowners who are struggling to come into compliance. It is our absolute last resort to go through a foreclosure process. But as Commissioner Fritz said, with rights come responsibilities. And often these owners are entirely absentee. They may be deceased. They may be a bank. And I would encourage anyone who thinks that this is a rash action by the city to go spend a few weeks living next door to one. Aye.
Wheeler.
So by law, it is extremely hard for government to foreclose. And in fact, we have several hundred so-called zombie houses scattered throughout the city of Portland, and they provide public safety, public health, and environmental hazards, not only to the immediate properties, but also to the adjacent properties. But we go through substantial hoops as a result of the kind of concerns that were expressed by Mr. Lightning. The idea of government taking private property is looked upon very, very dimly in this country. And therefore, the rules that we must follow and the steps that we must take are extremely onerous. As you just heard, there was one property on this list of three that is owned by a bank. There is one property on this list that has had ongoing problems for nearly two decades. And only now are we taking a vote which may start the process of resolution over the course of the next year. So this is a very, very slow, very, very thoughtful process, and it is designed by its very nature to not be quick and not be easy for government to be able to make these kinds of decisions. I think the auditor picked very wisely with these three particular homes. They all provide substantial risk to the rest of the neighborhood, and I strongly support the passage of this ordinance. I vote aye. The ordinance is adopted. Thank you. Next item, 270, is a second.